What's happening, everybody? This is Adi from Gate 7 International. I am rolling solo today. It is just me. We're going to talk about a couple of different things today. No matches, obviously, because it is, of course, the international break. The international break is finally here. Little break for our players. We're going to be chatting about Olympiacos, Ethniki Omada, and we're getting into all of it. But obviously, before we continue, don't forget to like and subscribe. Let us know where you are listening in from. Doesn't matter where in the world. We love to hear where the fans are chiming in from. It is always fantastic to see you guys checking in. And we've already got somebody checking in here, Fragiscos Veras. That intro does hit hard. It hits hard, my friend, every single time. Follow us on socials, guys. We are just over 100 subscribers on YouTube away from 4,000. We are less than 60 followers away on Instagram from 7,000. So some big milestones for us. Leave us a review if you're listening on audio as well, because the audience is just growing all over the place, whether it's YouTube, whether it's on Apple or Anchor, Spotify, whichever you listen on. The audience is growing. It's growing incredibly fast. And we're super thankful for that, and help us continue to find even more fans so that we can grow this even bigger. You can also join the Patreon community for $1 a month. You can get access to the WhatsApp group where we share information that we don't always share on social media or even on live streams. You can get extra content for $5 a month as well. There's also even a merch tier. Speaking of merch, merch is coming. So check it out. And we will be check out the socials, that is, and we'll be have more information about that as well. Congratulations are in order for our women's volleyball team. Last week when we went live, they had won the final, the end of the final four for the Kypelo in Greece. So exciting news. There is another piece of silverware to add to the cabinet of Olympiacos, the trophy cabinet. So excited for them. Great job by our ladies in volleyball. I'm going to open up the lines too. It gets boring sometimes talking all by yourself. So I will be opening the lines up for guests to come and talk. So if you see something pop up in the comments, a link, you can feel free to join me. There's no pressure, but it's more fun, obviously, when you have somebody to talk to. Anyway, moving on to the football talk. We're only a few days past the miracle that happened in Serbia. And the good vibes haven't left yet, at least not for me. I still feel as ecstatic then as I do now. And I hope that feeling never leaves. The Greek national team might be playing in a few days, guys, but my mind is still thinking about Olympiacos. As exciting as it is for the Greek national team to have a chance still to qualify for Euro 2024, I'm still thinking about the next game for Olympiacos. Maybe that makes me less Greek. I don't know. But right now, Olympiacos has me too excited for what's coming next. And I'm more excited about that than I am about the national team. And we're going to touch on the national team soon. But right now, we're going to take a brief look at the opponent that Olympiacos has in the quarterfinals. As some of you already know, well, you should know already. If you haven't seen it on social media, you didn't watch the draw, you should know that we have drawn Fenerbahce, Turkish club from Istanbul. They're no strangers to Olympiacos. We've drawn them for the quarterfinals. And it's a tough matchup. This is going to be a touch matchup for us, despite the fact that in the past few years, Greek teams have done pretty well against Turkish clubs. Olympiacos in particular, we haven't lost to a Turkish club in years. We have done very well against every Turkish club we've come up against. Even Fenerbahce, we beat them twice in a season which really wasn't the greatest for us, but we still beat them twice. This year, the Fenerbahce team we're playing against is a much different animal than what we faced a couple of years ago. They're not a team that's in shambles like they were a couple of years ago. Mesut Ozil, who's a shadow of what, or who was a shadow of his former self. It's a team this year that can score goals. They play pretty decent football, things considered. They have three players that are in the top five scoring, the top five scorers in the Turkish league. Edin Dzeko, Dusan Tadic, and Szymanski. Those three players are three of the five top scorers in the Turkish league, all from Fenerbahce. So that's pretty scary. So far in the knockout stages of the conference league, Olympiakos has been fortunate enough to really only play two teams that had one or two dangerous players, we'll say, right? So we haven't really had to deal with a team yet in the knockout stages where we've had to worry about threats from all over the pitch. Let's be honest. Ferencváros, probably there were about three, maybe four players that were really of concern to us. Vargas was one, obviously. They had, I'm already forgetting his name, but they had a midfielder who's also the top assist in the Hungarian league, who was doing very well in the conference league as well. But you know, outside of those two, three players, nothing. Even Maccabi Tel Aviv. Thank you, Christos. It was Abu Fani. Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much. But and Maccabi Tel Aviv was the same. Outside of Milson, maybe Zahavi, there were one, two players that were good that we had to worry about. The primary threat, of course, being Aaron Zahavi. But Fenerbahce has more. They have more threats. And these guys aren't just random. They're not random players. These are guys that have played in the top competitions of the world. Edin Dzeko in particular. We all know Edin Dzeko. Whether it was he was playing for Bosnia against the Greek national team, whether he's been playing for Roma. And he still has goals in him. He might be a little older than he was, but he still has goals in him. Dusan Tadic, come on, guys. We all watched him play at Ajax. Again, he's also a little bit on the older side, but still. They have a lot more quality than the teams that we've been playing against so far. So it's not going to be an easy game by any stretch. So formation-wise, as we're talking about, you know, the style of play, I told you guys they as a team. They play pretty decent football in Turkey. I know they were struggling today against Trabzonspor, but they are a team that is not to be taken lightly. They've scored as a team, despite the fact that they're in second place against Galatasaray. They've scored the most goals, like by a considerable margin, in the Turkish league. It's not a joke. I mean, they are very efficient with their opportunities as well, because it's not like they're making the most opportunities. Actually, Galatasaray makes more shots, but they're very efficient with their opportunities. So, and we leak goals in that respect. So outside of what we just did against Maccabi Tel Aviv, look at the rest of the sample so far. Even with Mendilibar, we leak stupid goals. And these guys have players that can make a lot out of very few chances. So we're not going to do too much focusing on Fenerbahce, because we're going to do a lot more analysis on the team and how they're looking in the league and what they've done so far in Europe. We're going to do more of that analysis as we get closer to that game. Remember, we play on the 11th and the 18th of April, both of our legs for the quarterfinals. In the meantime, of course, we have, when we return from international break, we play Ajax first, and then we're going to have another match in the playoffs as well, before we even have to consider that. There will be plenty of analysis on Fenerbahce and the Turkish league today, or on the Turkish league at that time, but we're going to take a much deeper look at it. But in the meantime, there were worse draws for me than this. There are also better draws. But in the grand scheme of things, nothing's easy. You get to the quarterfinals of any competition, nothing's easy. You take what's in front of you, you do what you can. And we know now what these players are capable of. The players now know what they are capable of after coming down and making history after overcoming a 3-goal deficit. We brought it up on the last show. No team in Europe has ever overcome a 3-goal deficit when suffered at home first and then gone away and gotten the job done and progressed to the next round of competition in any knockout format. It's incredible. And we also have to shout out, we shouted out on social medias as well, but we really, really need to talk about and give props to Andre Horta and his champion mentality. There was a quote we shared on social media that blew up all over the place about how when he, after the first leg, saw the Maccabi fans celebrating in the locker rooms, he went up to Robbie Keane and said, "Hey, it's not done. This is just the first leg. It's not over. 4-1 down. Guy didn't care. All he thought about was winning the next leg. He didn't care." And we also shared a little bit about some of the inner locker room talks that was going on. It was something that was posted by Todeka, by Nikos Kotsis. And we got insight on what was going on in the locker room. And you had El Arabi talking to the players saying, "Guys, no more words, no more talking. We need to get out there. You saw what Bach did. We can do that too." Horta was talking. Fortunis grabbed the banner. They said he was talking. The locker room, there was belief there. But the takeaway from me, El Arabi, okay, we know Fortunis is the captain. We know El Arabi is a locker room leader. We know that 100%. But the really big takeaway for me is Andre Horta. We've been saying for about a month now, sign the guy yesterday, activate the buyout yesterday. How quickly, he's been here less than 2 months, and he's already a locker room leader. And when you see him speak, it's not like he's like, he doesn't have he doesn't have the El Arabi type of aura around him, right? He's much more calm and soft-spoken, but he's a leader in there, and he's been here 2 months. That type of mentality, that leadership mentality, that lion mentality, you need that. You need that. You need that in the locker room. So it's not just about him being a skilled player. He's 27 years old. There's definitely resale value there. It's also about the mentality and what he brings to the locker room in that respect. So we really, really, really need to make sure that we renew that guy ASAP. Or renew, activate his option ASAP, as soon as possible. Him, Podence, those guys. I'm sure the club is working on those as we speak, but it is imperative that they are here to stay and we are using them to build. We already have Chiquinho locked down, thank God. I don't know if you guys saw the data. Kotsis had made a post earlier today. He ran almost 15 kilometers during that Maccabi Tel Aviv game. Workhorse. Amazing. Fantastic. Everybody looked good. Even Ortega. And we posted some stats today about Francisco Ortega because Ortega has been such a divisive figure for Olympiacos fans. And we have some people that are reliving the days of Oleg and rewriting Oleg's history here. And some people that look at Ortega maybe as a little bit more than he's been. But under Mendy Libar, Ortega's done more in the last month than he did in the first whole half of the season so far. Or even since Mendy Libar arrived. He's had the same type of the same level of offensive production. And I have been preaching, we as a podcast have been preaching, or a show, I should say, have been preaching patience with Ortega because I, in particular, I saw value with what was going on in Argentina. But for so long, we didn't see the things that really intrigued me. He's very dangerous with these inside runs. We didn't see them for almost half a season, barely. Now you're seeing them under Mendy Libar. He's overlapping more. He's getting forward more. He's being afforded the opportunity to do those things. And in two games, he's already got two assists, which is all he did in the first half of the season. We compared the stats to Oleg on social media as well to get the conversation and get people to realize that what we had wasn't sustainable on the left side. And Ortega, sure, he hasn't lived up to the value of what we paid for him yet, but there's something there. If you haven't seen it yet, check out our socials. You can see the difference in the comparison between the two players there, because quite frankly, we will make money off of Francisco Ortega. There's no doubt about it. We will. So if you have any other questions about Ortega, you can reach out to us, check out socials, but there's nothing wrong there. We're going to check out some comments before we go ahead and move on to the Greek national team. Fragius goes, I would give 1 year of my life to relive that night. Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. From Christos, since Besiktas 4-1, I think. So if I remember somebody talking about that, but the Besiktas 4-1 was a loss away and then a win at home. Ours was a win, a loss at home and a win away, which is why it was different. Andreas Mitsis, complete chaos at the end of the match between Trabzonspor Fener just moments ago. Players involved in man versus man fights. Why'd I turn the game off? I missed the best part of that match. Unbelievable. Thank you for telling me that, Andreas Mitsis. Thank you. Nolan Lindner Fox, Bout can genuinely make it to the final, but it's going to be tough for us versus Aston Villa. Yeah. Look, man, at this point, it is what it is. I'm happy we're here. Let's just take it game by game. I'm not looking towards Aston Villa yet. I'm not looking towards anybody yet. I'm just looking towards that first game against Fenerbahce. One thing at a time, guys. Nolan Fox also said, I fear Dzeko against our shaky defense. You are not the only one, man. Aaron Zahavi put however many goals he did by three goals past us. Dzeko can do probably just as many with a better team, if not more. Now, here's a good comment from Yorgos Moutsanos. And I think this is a discussion we need to have. Adi, there's been some conversations about the Karaskaki and whether it's an advantage or it's extra pressure in derbies and European matches we should win. Not like West Ham, the only decent side we've won. And you know what? We've had this conversation. We have had this conversation in our WhatsApp group. Even I and my fellow co-host, we have had this conversation as well. Look, anytime we play either away or without fans, when we play in a full Karaskaki, the pressure seems to be too much for some players because the disasters that we have encountered at the Karaskaki, especially this year, it's unacceptable. And we've had this conversation of what is the Karaskaki a castle still? And right now it's not. How do we bring it back? And maybe it is the fact that the stadium and when it's filled with the fans, maybe right now it's more pressure than it is uplifting. That is a possibility. Maybe it's because certain players didn't have the stomach for it. Maybe they didn't realize the mentality you need to have when you're at Olympiacos. My hope is that following this major win and the hero's welcome that they received, that can be an impetus or that can be a start or a force for change in how that atmosphere is perceived by the players. Because players have told us that when the Karaskaki is behind you, a full Karaskaki, there's nothing that compares to it. And these are players that have played all over the place. Watch our interviews with some of the Olympiacos legends. Look at the quote. We put the quotes on our socials that Mendy Libar had when he did the interview with Relevo, the Spanish magazine. And he told them, I've lived promotions, relegation battles. I've won the Europa League, but I have never experienced that. It is crazy. Even Mendy Libar, who has experienced crazy things with fan bases that are not plastic fan bases. Sevilla, great fan clubs, great group, great fan base, passionate fan base. But yet he pointed to Olympiacos' fans and the atmosphere created by Olympiacos fans, that it was something else. So I hope that this is the start of a change in that atmosphere, and a change in how that atmosphere affects the players. Because if it has the positive impact on the players, then it'll help carry them to something that's completely different than what we've seen so far. So more comments coming in here. And we got Lakis Gavalas. I don't think at 28 or 29, and after downgrading from Braga to the Greek league, that Horta will have resale value close to the 6 million we need to pay. I've been seeing the 6 million. We'll see what happens. 6 million, 4.5 million. The numbers are different everywhere. But honestly, Laki, I disagree at the very least that at 28 or 29, I mean, even at 30, there are clubs that you could still get a decent fee from him, especially all we need. He turns 28, right? He's 27 now. He'll turn 28 next season. One decent season with us, or even one half a season, if we're in Europa League, then you sell him the next summer. Because even at 28 years old, you're getting even 29, couple, 2-3 years of prime football, somebody will pay for him. In that part, I think the value proposition is different. I'm going to disagree. Our good friend, Kostas Papadimitriou, old friend of the show, Adi, Robbie Keane was warning his players that nothing is over. Also, Israeli winger Osher Davida, in some statements after the 4-1-1 of the team, warned that Olympiakos is capable to make the same to Maccabi. Unfortunately for them, Olympiakos was so strong to kick him out from the conference. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, well, unfortunately, not enough of the players seem to take that warning to heart. Ortega's coming from Argentina for the first time. He'll improve next year, hopefully. But yeah, this guy, if you were to cut his right foot, he wouldn't really care. Yeah, you always look at Rodiné, guys. Do you guys remember how many people were down on Rodiné when we first brought him in? And the guy's been a core part of our offensive progression all season. Yeah, okay, I know that Rodinei's defense is his defensive, you know, he can get exposed there. The guy's also been playing nonstop, but he is one of the most important pieces of our offense. I said on a previous show, for me, if we're talking MVP right now and we're looking at, you know, I don't want to say subjective things. If we're looking at instead of quantitative things like goal contributions or specific stats, and we're looking at qualitative things like what we see on the field, qualitatively speaking, it's Rodiné. Rodiné is the most important part of right now of the offense, because it doesn't matter what day it is. He is a part of us getting forward and making opportunities. So I'm willing to be patient with Ortega. I've been saying it for a long time, and I think we're starting to begin to see under Mendilibar, a proper coach, that patience will be rewarded. Now, for the record, I still don't think he's worth the four and a half million we've paid so far, but he has time to prove us wrong in that regard. He has time to prove and show his value. So I'm willing to be patient. I'm very much willing to be patient with that. The Fragiskos Veras, will the final still happen in Greece if one of the finalists or both are Greek teams? That's a really good question, my friend. That is a really good question. I do not know. I part of me think UEFA will say figure it out, but I don't know. I couldn't tell you. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that. So, well, guys, we're not going to dive too much in on what's been going on with Olympiakos, because we got a long time now before we have to really think about the Conference League and the next matchup for Olympiakos. So it's about time right now we're going to chat Ethniki Omada. It's been a long time on this show, because I don't think we did anything over the last international break for the Ethniki Omada. You know, we don't always have the appetite for it, but for the first time in 10 years, the Greek national team has a real shot to get to a major competition, a Euro final here. Gus Poyet, whatever we want to say about him, the politics, his choices, his player choices, which we're going to get into in a couple of minutes, won our Nations League group. Sure, we're in League C. It shouldn't be that difficult, but it was. We won our group, got a second lease on life, came in third in our qualifying group, which wasn't a surprise between France and the Netherlands. But by winning our group, we now have a second chance here. And we're going to play Kazakhstan, who destroyed their Nations League group. And they did come in fourth technically because they drew with Finland at 18 points. Denmark and Slovenia topped the group at 22 points. And Finland and Kazakhstan both tied at 18 points. So this Kazakhstan side is not a bad team. When you hear Kazakhstan, you probably don't think that they have a serious squad, but they're not really to be underestimated. So there's a chance here. And as much as I have my issues with Poyet for various reasons, this is a representation of Greece. And us qualifying for the Euros is big for a country, regardless. We have, as Olympiacos fans, we have a couple of Olympiacos players that are there and that are playing for the national team. We have, of course, you know, some gripes about some various exclusions from the national team. I'm not going to get into that because we've talked about it so much. But anyway, I'm going to share with you guys here the roster, the call-ups. So you guys have seen this before. This was shared earlier this week, the call-up. So you have the goalkeepers, Vlako Dimos, Pascal Lakis, Athanasiadis, and Diudis. We have our defenders. And for those of you that may have noticed when it was first released, there's only one left back there. Tsimikas is the only left back that's included, but we have three right backs. We have George Baldock, we have Lazaros Rota, and we have Saliakas. Now, there was a report that Rota could be used as a left back, which I think is absurd because we have real left backs that are, in my opinion, just much more talented than Rota. But, you know, or, you know, maybe Tsavelas will go back to his roots as a left back, you know, another clown that shouldn't be part of the national team. But that's a story for another time. You have your midfielders here. The usuals, Bakasetas, Bukhalakis, Kurbelis. Why he's in there is beyond me. Kadziovanis as a winger, Madalos, Siopis, and Zeka. So the winger situation, a lot of people talked about how garbage the call-ups were, but quite frankly, and I have made these complaints, and we've had this discussion as well in our WhatsApp group, there is nobody else winger-wise. In the forward section, you see Tsolis is included. We know he'll probably end up playing on the wing. There's Belkas, there's Masuras, who we know will probably end up on the wing as well. You see Kostadelias, but there's nobody else. Limnyo has done nothing since going to Panathinaikos. He's a fast guy, and here and there he can do something for you, but what can I say? There really is not much else. Vrusai, maybe if he was playing more. But the important thing is at least Tsolis was called up because he's doing amazing in the second division of Bundesliga. And he's been left out for so many call-ups. And everybody's sitting here like, what are you doing? You're calling up all these random players over him? It didn't make sense. Well, at least he's called up this time. So you're going to have to take the good with the bad here. But comment here from Nolan Lindner Fox. No Kotsiras is a joke. He should be starting for the Ethniki. You're preaching to the choir, man. There's right backs we've called up. I rate Saliakas, so I'm okay with him. It's Lazaros Rota who I don't rate at all, but he plays for Ike, and we all know the connection between Ike and the national team currently. So we're not going to get into that. Evangelos Michalatos. Also, there's Likoyannis and Kyriakopoulos as a left back if he didn't want to call Giannoulis. Well, Giannoulis is injured, guys. So Giannoulis is injured, which is why he wasn't called up. But otherwise, I agree with you here. Likoyannis, Kyriakopoulos, I value both of them individually well over Rota. I'm sorry. Lazaros Rota is not an extreme. He's a depth player for me at best. I'd rather have Saliakas over him. And George Baldock, quite frankly, also hasn't been extremely impressive in the Premier League. But he plays in the Premier League. So that's a different situation all together. Also, guys, I shared the link in the chat. So if you want to have a chat with me, we'll talk a little bit about the Greek national team, the Ethniki Ομάδα. I'd love to chat with you. We're not going to go too much longer here. We're already 30 minutes in. And while I have you guys, we are 30 minutes in. There's over almost 160 of you. There were over 160 of you here with me in the audience, live and engaging. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Help us continue to grow. Every engagement helps. Right now, there's only 17 likes, and there's over 150 of you in here. Really quickly, just hit that like button. It takes 2 seconds. Hit it, and just that engagement helps us so much to find other red and white fans. So really quickly, hit that like button and subscribe if you want to hear more from us. But going back to the discussion about the national team, the situation with right now with the choices with the coach. I mean, we know Poyet has his favorites. It's that case with every national team. People complain about Bakasetas. You know he's going to be one of the first names on the sheet. He's a very important locker room presence. And quite frankly, I'm happy with how he's being used by Poyet compared to JVS. JVS was the most irritating for me because he's using Bakasetas as the 10 and he's putting everything through him when unfortunately Bakasetas is not creative enough to take that. And we've done all the analyses between him and Kostas Fortunis in that respect. And it's I'm sorry. There's no comparison. But in a freer role, whether it's second strike or even deeper, I like the usage of him deeper in the midfield. He's fine. He has a cannon of a foot and his passes are very accurate. He can put the ball almost wherever he wants. The questions in the midfield then come. All right, Bukalakis, he's playing in second division Germany. He's always going to be picked. We've talked about the niche that he exists in. You know why he gets picked. Now, Zeka and Korbelis, I'm not going to touch on those too much. I see some disagreements with a couple of players individually. Tsilulis, the new Ike player. We're not talking about that. We are not talking about that right now. Kleoniki Ververidou. We will die and Savelas Korbelis and Matalos will still play for the national team. Just ridiculous. I actually like Matalos when he's not, also when he's not playing further forward. I mean, I hate when coaches use him on the wing because he's quite useless. But when they allow him to play in the center of the park, whether it's deeper or even actually closer as a 10, he has use there. He has value. He's not a bad player, guys. So Matalos is, there's a lot of players that frustrate me in the call-up list here, especially the fact that we called up 4 goalkeepers, but whatever. I'm not going to touch on that either. But I think, Matalos is not one of the players I'm like super upset about in terms of call-ups here. Noah Lindner-Fox, the advanced 8 position that Poyet plays him in. Exactly. I actually don't have too many issues with that. Lakis Gavalas, what are you implying, Adi? That Poyet got the job because of Ike and is subservient to them? I'm not going to answer that question. You guys already know my answer for that. Drossos Yatropoulos. Listen to Drossos, boys and girls. Hit the like button. It's free. Don't be Malakis Mena. Thank you, Drossos. Do it. Listen to your boy Drossos here. Help us out. Help us grow the red and white community. Yorgos Mourzanos. Alexandro and Kotsilas, who can play midfield, are way better than Zeka and Kourbelis. I would rather have Alexandropoulos in the midfield for his passion. We have issues with other aspects of Alexandropoulos' game. things that we've talked about on this show multiple times. But I agree with you there. I'm, you know, so that the failed generation just needs to, we need to move them on. There's a young a younger generation of much more promising players that we need to put our faith in. And, but that will start at club level with players and or clubs showing faith in them first. So, but I'm with you guys here. Some of these players from this generation that's on the verge of being phased out, they need to be gone. There's a couple comments here about Chadziovanis and not liking him, but I agree with you. I don't rate Chadziovanis. I think he's very average. He hasn't scored in a couple of months. I remember Lambro and Martial showing me a goal he had a couple of months ago, which I would, you know, I could care less about if it's just one. But who else is there? If you can think of another name that is realistic to be called up for as a winger, let me know. I mean, don't say Limnyot, because what has he done recently? But we don't have the fact of the matter is, and this has always been the case with the Greek national team, there is a drought at the winger position. We do not have a lot of wingers. Now, are there some young prospects coming up? Yes, we've seen for Olympiakos. For our U19, we have a couple, but right now we don't have any. And, you know, this George Gadilis just brought up Fortunis, and Fortunis is a player that everybody seems to use at the wing now, and he still offers you something, but that's never happening because Poyet did not want that to happen. Same thing, the way Kostas Fortunis has been treated by the national team is a different story. So, we've already gone into that so much. I just don't have the heart, because it's just going to piss me off even more than I'm already pissed off with the Hellenic Football Federation and Gus Poyet as an individual. So Nolan Linder-Fox brings up Funtas as a potential wing option, and Taxi Funtas. I mean, if we're comparing Taxi Funtas and Chadziovanis, it's like, well, I don't know. You know, you're reaching at the bottom of the barrel with both of them, because neither one has been overly impressive. So, but yeah, I mean, and I was surprised that Funtas was not picked, because he's been on every call up. I was surprised not to see him, but it seems like maybe Funtas had to give way for Tsolis. Fragiskos is bringing up actually Tasos Tuvikas, and Tasos Tuvikas is another one that I'm not going to focus on, because Poyet's already said that he doesn't rate him. That's, you know, that's another huge mistake in my opinion, but whatever. You know, Gus Poyet has his favorites, and he's going to live and die by them. If he takes us to the Euro Cup and gets us to the tournament, then he's liberated by the decision. It gives him validation. But if he doesn't, and we lose to either Kazakhstan or Georgia, most likely, if we make it past Kazakhstan, then the questions will be asked. You didn't bring the best players. You brought this person and this person. So Gus Poyet will hang himself, or he'll look like a hero. So we're going to have to wait and see, because so far the trend has been with the national team coaches that they've hung themselves. JVS did the same thing. That's how it is. So we're in this case, we're going to have to see what happens. But I have mixed feelings about the call-ups. Overall, I think there's plenty of quality here to beat Kazakhstan. Let's put it that way. There's plenty of quality here to beat Kazakhstan. If we're really going to split hairs about certain players, there's arguments to be made that maybe Tasos Tuvikas, so far since he's left the Eredivisie, that he hasn't been doing as well. And you're not gonna get rid of a guy like Ioannidis, whose form in Greece has been incredible for Panathinaikos, and for me, who's a profile that really complements the Greek national team. Where I have disagreements with my colleagues is Pavlidis. Now, Pavlidis is an incredibly talented player, amazing for AZ in the Eredivisie as well. He is an incredible player. However, my problem is not with Pavlidis as a player. My problem is how we use him. We do not use Pavlidis in a manner for this national team where you get the most out of him. If you watch him play in Holland, he is used not just as a second striker, but he's given different room to play off of people. Also, the way the team plays is more advanced collectively. He has more help and assistance. He plays well off of other players. Do you guys remember when Pavlidis was experimented with by JVS, by John Van Schip, that is, as a 10, and he was playing behind the striker, behind Yakumakis? That was the best I've seen him play in a blue and white shirt. And quite frankly, I would rather see him play in that role for us, because when he's playing as our lone striker for the Greek national team, he's quite frankly, he's almost worthless. And in that respect, because I know we're not using him correctly, I personally would rather not have him on there because he's a waste of space. I'd rather find other players that I haven't seen anything from. A guy like Duvikas, who I think is more likely to do something from nothing than a guy like Pavlidis in this respect. But fact of the matter is, when you have a player like Pavlidis who's doing as well as he is, you can't not call him. I always preach form. You bring players in form. Despite the fact that we have a very large sample size of what Pavlidis has done for the Greek national team, he's in form. So you pick him. So in that respect, who would you get rid of for Duvikas? What forwards here? Well, it's not Pavlidis, not Ioannidis. Then you're looking at guys like Pelkas. Fine, you can get rid of Pelkas. I don't care. You have Kosadelios. No, you need him. Tzolis, no way you need him. Yakumakis, no. Yakumakis serves a purpose too in terms of profile and finisher. He's different than the other two guys we brought. So I think in the grand scheme of things, while I have issues with some of the picks here, of course, like you guys do, there's more than enough quality. I'll say it again. More than enough quality to beat Kazakhstan. More than enough. A couple of questions here from Mathematics. Mathematics. Come on, buddy. I've seen you here before. That name cracks me up every time. Who do you think our starting striker is going to be? Probably... if it were me, I'd pick Ioannidis, but I could see it being Pavlidis, to be honest with you. I would pick Ioannidis, but I think it'll be Pavlidis. Nolan Leonard Fox talking about the defense. Kouliarakis, Mavropanos should be the duo. So of the center backs that have been brought, we have Mavropanos, Hadzidiakos, Kouliarakis, and of course, Retsos. So Kouliarakis, that's a good shot for me. I think he's done very well. But to be honest with you, again, Poyet has his people. He has his favorites. Don't be surprised. We're probably going to see the Hadzidiakos and Mavropanos pair that we've seen so many times already this season. I don't know where Retsos is going to. I think he'll just be a backup in this, to be honest with you. I'd be surprised if Retsos starts. But I think I personally would like Kouliarakis Mavropanos, but I think it'll be Hadzidiakos that ends up getting the start. George Kadilis, Pavlidis at international level is not it. He doesn't gel well at all. I mean, the Eredivisie League is kind of a farmer's league. So many forwards there can score so many goals. Yeah, I wouldn't call it a farmer's league, but it's a very offensive league. That is a league where it is looked down upon culturally if you're playing with more than one defensive midfielder. Let's put it that way. If you have more than one in any way, shape, or form, even then sometimes it's, what are you doing? So, Rollface is back. Rollface, I thought you were changing this, but it needs to be Ioannidis. Panagiotis, Masuras, Yakumakis, Tzolis as his front three. That is an interesting front three. Yorgos Moutsanos versus Ireland. We played with Kouliarakis, Mavropanos, and Retsos. I do remember that. But was it? I thought there was injury concerns, which is why that happened. Maybe I'm misremembering. Anyway, it feels like it's been an eon ago that this happened. Anyway, talking about the setup versus Kazakhstan, look, I don't like saying it's Kazakhstan and we should be running train on them. We're not. You can't underestimate these guys. Kazakhstan, you know, they actually have a team now. They actually have a decent team. They play with a back five a lot. They're probably going to be a little bit more conservative than we are. So it wouldn't surprise me if we're dominating possession, but they will be tight and they are going to hit us on the counter. And I don't have the faith in this national team to be the most concise. But we have the quality to be able to do this. It should not be a big ask. I'm sorry. It should not be a big ask for Greece to win a League C Nations League group. Unfortunately, it has been. It should not be a big ask for us to go past Kazakhstan and Georgia to be able to qualify for Euro 2024. Unfortunately, over the course of the past decade, because that's the last time we made it to a big competition, a tournament was in 2014, 10 years ago. It is a big ask. We'll see. We will see. Rollface here. He's thinking of a username. He needs a banging one. Okay. If anybody has any thoughts for what Rollface can use for his new username, put him in there. Let's see what we can get. Yorgos Mourzanos, apparently in the invasion from Trabzonspor fans, but Shwaihi karate kicked a fan. Oh my goodness. Maybe there will be some punishments for Fenerbahce when they come play against Olympiacos. There's no away fans allowed by Fenerbahce when the game is played at the Karaiskaki. So they are not allowed to have away fans. That's the first one. I wonder if there will be any other punitive action taken. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But all of this just makes the whole thing better for us. So, boys and girls, I want your predictions for score for the game against Kazakhstan. Let me know what you think really quick because we're going to get ready and start wrapping up in a couple of minutes. But before we do that, I'm going to ask once again, if you haven't done so already, hit that like button. It takes literally 2 seconds. There are 170 of you right now in the audience with over an additional 100 that have already passed through the show. There are only 28 likes. Right now, I'm giving you 10 seconds. Just quickly go down, hit it. If you're watching us on X, formerly Twitter, join on YouTube so you can interact. Hit the link. It'll bring you through. You can do comments. You can get more engagement out of it. You can follow along a little bit better than you can on X. And then you can hit that like button. So the scores are coming in. Oh, look, 2-0 Greece, 3-1 Greece, Nolan Lindner Fox. Very nice. Okay, so there's some positivity. I do like it. I like it. Panayoti, 3-0 win. My preferred starting lineup. Okay, so what would be my preferred starting lineup for the Greek national team? So obviously, in goal, I probably would be using Vlachodimo. My defensive setup would be Tsimikas. My preference would be Kouliarakis and Mavropanos with Baldock on the right side. Now, with the called-up midfielders, I would have Bakasetas sitting a little bit deeper, and I would probably have him either next to Siopis. It would be 4-3-3 for me, so I would have him next to Siopis, and I would also be using Madalos. So I would have that 4-3-3 there. And then my front three, Solis would definitely be there. Ioannidis would be my number nine. And who would I pick as my third? Kosadelias, I would probably save as a sub. Masuras. I would start with Masuras. Just for some balance, because we know Masuras tracks back. So I would be running a 4-3-3. And 4-3-3, midfield trio would be Bakasetas, Bakasetas, Siopis, and Madalos, and then the shape, I would probably keep the shape tight as well. And of course, I would have the wings, Masura, so he's tracking back to help. And then if depending on where things are going, I can sub some more offensive options that I still have on the bench at a forward if I have to. That's how I'd be looking. So that would be my starting 11 in that 4-3-3 setup. So more scores coming in. Yorgos Moutsanos 1-0. Yannis Spinos 1-0 on extra time. Noel Linder-Fox, is Borat going to start? I guess we'll find out. I guess we'll find out if he's out there. Fragiskos 2-1. Yorgos Moutsanos Masouras must start at right wing if we play Georgia to help the right back for Karabashkari. I'm not even looking at that game yet. I'm just focusing on Kazakhstan. 100%. 100% just focusing on Kazakhstan. If we get past Kazakhstan, then I will focus. These days, because of Olympiakos, I take things one game at a time. I can't look too far down the road. Otherwise, it ends badly for me. But overall, it looks like everyone seems to be quite positive. A lot of positivity, thinking we should at least beat Kazakhstan. So let's hope that the national team doesn't disappoint us. Let's hope that the national team goes out there, it gets the job done, and Greece can be in its first tournament, in major tournament in 10 years. 10 years. Ridiculous that we haven't been in a major tournament in 10 years. But this is the level of Greek football, unfortunately. Look, guys, as Olympiakos fans, I brought this up before earlier in the show. We have our issues with the national team. We do. We all have. And not just Olympiakos fans. A lot of us do. There's a lot of weird things that go on. A lot of questions. But Greece making the Euros does more positively for us than negatively, right? Sure. I see the arguments that if we get there, then it kind of rewards bad behavior and stupid behavior of Poyet. But in the end, for me as an individual, I would rather Greece get there and get to the major tournament than not get there. Because the exposure it gives for the country and the country's football is very valuable. Not just to us as a show or Olympiakos fans, but for the Greek football community. Getting to these major tournaments is huge for us. This is how we continue to grow our community, not just red, white fans, our Greek football community. This is how we grow it. Getting this recognition and getting people to realize that Greece is a big footballing nation. This is huge for us in that respect. And I hope you guys see that at least on that front. Let's stay positive. If not for the national team, because Olympiakos still had that big win and we're all living in dreamland because of it. There's so many great things to look forward to after it. And then once it's over, we just go back to Olympiakos again. It's a good life for us. Greece will do what it'll do, and then we still have Olympiakos. On that note, guys, we'll keep you updated with what's going on. I'll be watching the news for Fenerbahce and what happens with them. We'll see how it affects their European journey and if it impacts their matchups with us, whether it's both home and away. We'll see what happens, but thank you guys for joining me. I'm really surprised at how big the audience was today, considering there was no match, considering we were talking Greek national team, which usually for us means less people join in. Check out the Patreon if you want to. Like I said, $1 a month, you can join the WhatsApp chat, get some information that we don't always share on social media. Plus, I make a lot of fun, weird AI graphics. But there's also some content you can check it out, patreon.com/gate7international. Hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Galinichta, everybody. We have an interesting week ahead of us. We will try to do a live show after the game on Thursday. We'll see. It'll probably, if it's not me, it'll probably just be me or Lampro. Not everyone has the appetite for the Greek national team. But we'll do what we can to continue giving you guys the content, whether it's Olympiakos or the Greek national team. Kalinichta, everybody. Good night. This is Gate 7 International, by the fans, for the fans. And we'll see you hopefully after the Greek national team game.